Judges chapter 4. The message today is about mothers in Israel. I'll read three scriptures telling us a little bit about mothers in Israel, and then fill in details as we go along. And I hope I won't have any competition. Judges 4, verse 4. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel, in the hill country of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Now, chapter 5, verse 7. The rulers ceased in Israel. They ceased until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose, a mother in Israel. That's what she calls herself, a mother in Israel. Now let's turn over to the New Testament, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or lands, for my sake, and for the gospel's sake, but he shall receive an hundredfold, now, in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers. One more reference in Romans chapter 16. This chapter is one that contains the Apostle Paul sending greetings, salutations to those that he knows as he writes the epistle to Rome. And verse 3, Salute Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. And look down at verse 13, Salute Rufus, the chosen in the Lord, and his mother, and mine. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the richness of the Word of God. Let us know that some are unaware that it tells of the everyday things of life, as well as the mysteries of heaven, of the life to come. We are thankful, our Father, for the knowledge that it contains, telling us about people like ourselves, showing us the way that we should behave, and showing us, our Father, the path that we should not follow. We pray, our God, that these portions that have been read shall enter into our hearts, that they shall not be forgotten or unheeded because of some occasion that makes us think of things of the flesh rather than the things of the flesh that would have us to understand things of the Spirit, but by that Spirit, work in our hearts and teach us, illuminate us, our God, and prepare him who speaks and we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And our Father, inasmuch as this is a special day that the world has set aside to think of mothers, we would pray for them. Our God, so many mothers who have no husbands, so many mothers who care not for their children, the world filled with mothers that you in the scriptures never considered. We pray, our God, that thou shalt work things out together for good and bless them, we pray, and help our nation and make it a blessing through the mothers. We look to thee now for good. Hear us, we ask of thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Most of us, if we have various titles by which we can be called, would choose an exalted title to describe ourselves. But this first woman of whom I read, Deborah, she was a prophetess and she was a judge, but when it came to describing herself, she said, I am a mother in Israel. Now, all of us are not able to be judges, to be prophetesses, but there is something that all of us can be, the women, the men, and that is fathers in Israel, if this were Father's Day, or mothers in Israel. You say, how can that be? There are some women who have never been married. How can they be mothers in Israel? There are some women who, though they are married, have never had children. How can all women be mothers in Israel? That is the reason I read the three scriptures to you, because this is what I found, that many who are not my mother have proved to be mothers. You say, how is that? Well, think of the scriptures that I read. The Savior was approached by his disciples, and they were thinking of what life might hold for them. They said, we were in the fishing business. We were going to take over when our father died. But now we've left everything. And what shall we have? And the Lord Jesus said, this is what you shall have. Most of us like to think of what we're going to have in the next world if we've done anything for the Lord Jesus. There is a great reward in the next world. But the Savior said, you who have followed me, he said, this is what you shall have. If you have left brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers for my sake, he said, now in this time, you shall have 100-fold brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers. Well, how can anybody have 100 mothers? The way that I have 100 mothers, 100 fathers. What happens is this. You have a family, and some of you have many brothers and sisters, some just a few. That when you are born again, and the Savior said, you must be born again. There was not only the family of Adam, but there is the family of God. And when you are brought into the family of God, then every mother in God's family can become your mother. You say, why yes, that is what the Savior meant when he said, if you have left an earthly mother for my sake, he said, now in this time you shall have 100 mothers. How? Not in your earthly relationships, but in your spiritual relationships. When you enter into the family of God, all the mothers there become your mother. And what is so remarkable is this, that no less a person than the Apostle Paul, speaking to his friend Rufus, sends greetings to him, and he said, I send greetings not only to you, Rufus, but I send greetings to your mother and to mine. What is Paul saying? He is saying that the mother of Rufus had shown him such kindness and affection that the relationship that existed between him and Rufus' mother was that of a son and his own mother. So think of this. Here are relationships that can come into existence, that can flourish, and they are as sacred and are more precious than the very relationship of your earthly father and mother. Why? Because it says this. The Lord Jesus says, you who have left fathers or mothers or brothers or sisters or children for my sake. Is that not a sad thing? That when you trust Christ as Savior, some do not trust Christ as Savior. They stay in the earthly family. But if you love the Lord Jesus, you must put Christ before all earthly relationships. And he said, if you leave these earthly relationships and you follow me, he said, when you come into the spiritual family, then you will have 100 mothers, 100 fathers, 100 brothers, 100 sisters. The Savior is saying that automatically when you come into the family of God, then all the mothers there are your mothers. And this is what he says in the epistle to Timothy. He's telling Timothy how to behave himself in the family of God. He says, now, the old men you regard as fathers, the older women as mothers, the younger as brethren, the young men, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. There it is. Paul lays it out for us. Now when you become a part of the family of God and you see older men there, how are you to regard them? As a father. And the older women in Israel, as a mother. Well, what about the young men? They're your brothers. And the younger women? Why, they're your sisters. And notice that he adds, with all purity. Why, there is to be love and fellowship among the people of God. It never is to degenerate into lust. And that is why Paul says, you regard the younger women as sisters with all purity. I need not tell you how the Christian family at times has degenerated and what was supposed to be true Christian love turns out to be something else. But at the same time, Paul is saying that you come into the family of God and then all the older ones are your fathers and all the younger ones are your sisters and the older women are your mothers. And I remember this. Someone he was here. One of the young fellows went to his father and said, Father, he said, is John Mills my uncle? I call him Uncle John. And the father said, well, he's my brother, and if he's my brother, he must be your uncle. You see how simple it is? At times, they call me Uncle John. I suppose if I get any older, they'll call me Father John. But usually, the relationship is that of someone that is older, that you respect, in the family of God, and that's a lovely thing. So, remember, if you haven't been born again, you have one mother and one father. And when that father, when that mother died, then you are an orphan. You have no father, you have no mother. But in the family of God, you never experience a time when you do not have fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. You say that's a precious thought. Because whereas some of God's family pass on, there are always others to take their places. And that's what God wants us to understand. And that is what we're to do. Little children, love one another. Why? Because we are the family of God. You say the family of God. Yes. And some of you who have brothers and sisters, you know at times brotherly love does not continue in your own earthly family, and at times in God's family there are also disagreements and arguments, but whereas in the earthly family there are no laws that we have to forgive and be reconciled, in God's family there are laws and we must be reconciled. The Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And this breaks my heart to know that there are some in the family of God who hold grudges and hatred in their heart. And that's such a sad thing, because God says, that is not allowed in my family. Little children, love one another. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And so Christ looks upon us as his flock. He's the shepherd, you're the sheep, and at the same time, he looks at us as his family. And this is the way he speaks of us in the scriptures. He says, behold, I and the children whom the Father hath given me. The Lord Jesus, inasmuch as he is the one who saved us and brought us into existence, he says, Father, look at all of these children that I've brought into existence. Here am I, here are the children. And it is a glorious thing to have a Father who lives in heaven. Not only our Heavenly Father, but the Lord Jesus has taken over the responsibility of caring for us in this world as if we were his children, as if we were his sheep. He is the shepherd, and we are his sheep. And this is God's blessing to him. All right. Speaking of this family of God, I wonder if any of you women who are older now are approached at times as mothers in Israel. Did you notice that? She said, I was a mother in Israel. Now Israel was the chosen people of God. This was his family. She was a mother in Israel. There were other mothers outside of Israel, but she said, I am a mother in Israel. So in the world, there are some who have mothers of the world, but in the family of God, applying it to us, there are mothers among the people of God, mothers in Israel. And I wonder, you are mothers who are in the family of God, if you realize that that is your position, and if God has blessed you, not perhaps as a prophetess, but with good sense, with wisdom and understanding, it is quite in order for you to sit under your palm tree, because that's what Deborah did. She sat under a palm tree. She didn't go around preaching, but she sat under a palm tree. And those that had wisdom in Israel understood that this woman had answers, and her answers came from God. And in like manner, today, it should be that there are women of God who know the Word of God, and their palm tree may be their little abode, the place where they dwell. Wherever she can be visited, you go in and you sit in her presence, and she gives you counsel. That would be an excellent thing. Because there are so many young people today, and their own earthly fathers and mothers are not able to give them counsel. But they could go to a mother in Israel, and that mother in Israel could give them the finest counsel. Because if you have someone that is learned in the things of this world, they can give you advice. But if you ask them about spiritual things, if they're honest, they will have to say, I do not know. And that is where the mothers in Israel become ever so important. That young people who do not have mothers to whom they can turn, have mothers in Israel to whom they can turn. and they come to the mother, and as a mother to a child, they give advice. And that's the way the advice is to be given. Understand that. The scripture forbids any woman in the church to stand up and publicly preach and take the place of a man. But thank God, the scripture tells us the importance of a woman in her home under her palm tree when others come and in submission and in humility taking the covering when she tells them the counsel of God. That is perfectly in order, and this is what Deborah did. And I might add this for those who say, well, here is a woman that's entirely out of place. Not out of place. In fact, what she tried to do was to get a man named Barak to come and do the work that I have been doing. But there are times when men are weaklings, when women have more strength than men, and the woman that has that strength has wisdom, and she says, now I want you to go and do the work that I've been doing. I want you to take over for me. And poor Barak said, well, I will only go if you go, and if you will not go, I will not go. That is not the tendency that God wants among his people, but that is the way it was. And so think that a man of the stature to which Barak arose, he went and received counsel and advice from this woman. And it was no humiliating thing, because one of the greatest preachers in the New Testament, Apollos, who was an eloquent man, met Aquila and Priscilla, and they listened to him, and they said, yes, he's an eloquent man. He is expert as far as he goes, but there are things that he does not know. Let's take him home. All right. So they invited Apollos into their home, and it says they taught him the way of God more perfectly, more accurately. Perfectly in order, with a woman being covered in the home. If a man comes in and wants to know the things of God, perfectly in order for that mother in Israel to teach that man. And many times, she is the only one who can teach him. Which tells us this, that there are some women who know more about the Bible than men do. That's a shameful thing. If this were so in my case, I would take a special course in learning the Word of God. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 14, if a woman would learn anything, let her learn at home from her husband. But many times the husband at home will call to the wife and say, where is this in the Bible? They will learn from the wives. Seeing my position in the scriptures, if I do have a mother in Israel, I want there to be a father in Israel as well. And this is what has happened. And in our own family, we have experienced it. The Lord has never given us any children to keep. But we have children. We have daughters that phone and ask counsel. Sons that phone and ask counsel. In fact, this morning, one of our children, spiritual children, phoned, and I was giving him help on the sermon that he was going to give this morning. And his sermon sounded so good, I said, do you mind if I steal that sermon? I did not, but this was the conversation that went on. And this is a delightful thing. His father is dead, but he has another father in Israel. His mother is dead, but he has another mother in Israel. And those are the ones to whom you should go for counsel. Now, let me tell you why. Even though the mothers in Israel are not perfect, they have an understanding. And that understanding can be a blessing to their own family, as well to others that are not in their immediate family. And I'm talking about Eunice. Where did Eunice learn the truth of God? She learned it from Lois. And where did Timothy learn the truth of God? He learned it from Eunice. Because Lois was the mother of Eunice, and Eunice was the mother of Timothy. And this is what it says. It says concerning Timothy, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And this is one regret that I have, that as a child I did not have a mother who taught me the holy scriptures, because she did not know the holy scriptures. But that mother sent me the Sunday school where I could learn the scriptures. And I remember she saw to it that I was baptized. She did everything in her power to teach me the way in which I should go. But it turned out that instead of a mother in Israel being a blessing to her son, God saved my soul, sent me home, and then I went and I was a blessing to my mother. And she trusted Christ as Savior, and through a son of Israel, she became a mother in Israel. But that's the reverse. In the case of Timothy, Eunice's mother taught him the things of God. And I want to tell you this. Some say, well, I just am not persuaded about this. I am. Because it says in the book of Proverbs, my son, forget not the law of thy mother. This is a commandment in the Word of God, that children are to listen to the law of their mother. And this is the spiritual law of wisdom and understanding as it's set forth in the Word of God. And God commands us, my son, forget not the law of thy mother. And it also says this to King Lemuel. It says, I am telling you about a prophecy that I learned from my mother. Think of this. Here is the King Lemuel, and his mother taught him that prophecy, and you will find what his mother taught him that he recorded. There is not one book that we know of in the Bible that a mother, a woman, wrote, but we have something that a mother taught her son, and what she taught her son, that is written in the Word of God. For that reason, when there are mothers in Israel, if there is an Apollos, he may go to a Priscilla and he may learn from this mother in Israel. If there is one, as in the days of the judges, this one may go to a Deborah and she will teach him the things of God. And it's perfectly in order, not in an official capacity, because the scripture does not allow a woman to teach in the church. A woman is to remain silent. If you would learn, let her learn from her husband. And it says that this is God's order in creation. You see how everything is seeking to be destroyed today. Mothers and fathers, why, I'm a single mother. And at the same time, mothers and fathers and home life, why, we do not even know about that. And now we have to give special classes about women who do not want husbands, but they want children. All sorts of strange things going on in the world. That is why God, in His Word, shows us an order, decency, knowledge, understanding. God describes what is going on in the world as confusion. And so I thank God that I was born before the time when all of this perversion and abomination and confusion, where you cannot distinguish between a man and a woman, where you cannot distinguish between a father and a wife, a mother and a father, all of the confusion that's in the world, God says, no, here in my family, we have this order, and there are fathers and there are mothers, and there are brothers and there are sisters. There is a distinction of the sexes. And at the same time, there is the father, and the mother is in subjection to the husband. And the children obey their parents in the Lord. Honor thy father and thy mother. And God says, this is what is in the scripture. And for that reason, we have those who remember what their mother taught them when they were little children. And they write it down in the Word of God. And Timothy, being taught the holy scriptures. So, there are some, and this is the sad thing, that a mother would have to say, no, I do not have the ability to give my children counsel. And the sad thing, and this is what is so heartbreaking, is that there were many who were not mothers in Israel, in the true sense, in the spiritual sense of the world. But there were mothers who lived in Israel, and they gave counsel to their children, and they destroyed that. Now, what counsel do you give to your child? Eunice could say, "My son," and she would tell him what was set forth in the Word of God. Are you as a mother able to do that? But what is so sad is this. There were mothers in Israel who gave counsel that destroyed their children. I will tell you of Queen Athaliah, and she taught her children to turn from the living and true God and to follow false gods. And she had idols set up. And it says all of these abominations that Athaliah, that wicked woman, taught her sons. And so here is a mother in Israel, and she teaches her sons to turn from the living God and to go and worship idols. The Lord not only has those like Deborah, but he also has those women like Athaliah. And at the same time, God's Word tells us about other mothers like Herodias. And Herodias had a daughter who danced before the king. And her dance so pleased him that he said, "I'll give you anything you want for the half of my kingdom." And she went to her mother and said, "Mother, what shall I ask?" She said, "Ask the head of John the Baptist." And this mother sent her daughter to hell, and Athaliah sent her sons to hell. And that is what you do if you give the counsel to turn from the living God and turn to idols, because there are mothers in Israel who give not good counsel, but destructive, damnable counsel as well. And God will hold you responsible, because God saw to it that Athaliah was dethroned and was destroyed, as also Jezebel, she was dethroned and she was destroyed. And so God has a place in hell for mothers who not only go there themselves, but teach their children how to get there as well, with their lips and with their lives. But the delightful thing is this, that as long as the Christian church exists, there will be true mothers. And we can go to those mothers and receive counsel. And I rejoice in this, that the Lord has made it, as in the case of my earthly mother, he imparted the way of salvation to me, and I was able to go and tell my mother. And my mother, from her son, learned the way of salvation. But now, whereas there are other mothers in Israel, I rejoice in the joy and honor that is mine to go and help them with the scriptures, to read and pray with them. But it's not always so. There are mothers in Israel who are to help younger men. But this I have derived from mothers in Israel. I've derived material support and love and the joy that is mine since my mother has gone to heaven, to be able to go and talk to someone who is older than I. It was easier in younger days, but now it gets harder. But to go to older women that are closer to heaven, humanly speaking, than I am, and talk to them and listen to them and think of one who has this experience, who has gone through life and can tell me things in life. I tell you how things were when I was young, and then a mother in Israel telling me how things were before I came into existence, when she was born. All of these things are joy. And so this morning, God, if you do not have a mother that is saved, that can give you spiritual counsel, if you come into the family of God, I promise you that God will give you 100 mothers. He will give you 100-fold brothers and sisters. And whereas some of us are a disgrace and a shame, there are always those like Deborah. There are always those like Eunice to whom we can go. So this day, mothers, seek by God's grace to be a true mother in Israel. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the way that Thou hast set up things. We're aware that man has sought to destroy them, to pervert, to so confuse the mind of man that there is no order in the world. But we are thankful that You have set forth in Your Word what that order is. And with honest hearts, as we wait in Thy presence, we say, yes, this is the order. This is the right way. So, our God, for those who are mothers here, we pray, if they were as my mother and did not know, that they shall learn. And as they get older, though maybe their children have gone, and it may be too late, we pray, our God, that their children shall return, and now they can be a mother in Israel, and others of us shall go and be blessed from all of these women whom Thou hast saved, to whom Thou hast imparted knowledge. May they be a blessing to the people of God. May they be true mothers in Israel. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.